your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1, if we can. Matthew chapter number 1. And we're continuing our series that was started last week on the people of Christmas. Doing a little in-depth study on the different Bible characters that make up the Christmas story. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Joseph. Matthew chapter number 1. Let's all stand if we can. Out of respect for the word and to give our legs a little bit of a stretch. Matthew chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew 1 and verse number 18. It says there this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look at it and study it here this morning. Give us strength, give us help as we examine your word. Lord, I pray that you give us understanding. Lord, I pray that as we look at this example of this godly man that chose to serve you and chose to obey you regardless of what could happen, regardless of the consequences. Father, help us to be that kind of person that will trust you, that will follow you, that will serve you, Lord. Whatever happens, let come what may, our faith is in you. Strengthen us, we pray. Lord, there's a lot of things going on in our world, lots of uncertainty, lots of questions, lots of concerns. But Father, I pray that right now we cast those aside for just a little bit and focus on what you want to speak to us about from your word. Strengthen us, we pray. Bless me, give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that you be with every one of these folks that are here. Lord, everyone that's watching via live stream. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, to follow through in the ways that your spirit tells them. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. May you be seated. Joseph is a character that doesn't get a lot of love around Christmas. I was talking to Becky last night, and I was mentioning kind of what I was going to be preaching and things along that line. And I said, Joseph is hard to preach on. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah, there's just not a lot about Joseph. As a matter of fact, this passage that we just read, these, I don't know, 12, 15 verses. This passage is literally about all we know about Joseph. We know he was a carpenter. We know he was a man that loved God and tried to serve God. But this is literally about all we know. As a matter of fact, the other day, probably about a year or two ago, when I was buying this, it feels like the other day, I don't know. When I was buying this nativity set, I was looking, and there was actually a nativity set, and it didn't have Joseph in the nativity set. And I was like, what's up with that? It had the shepherds, it had the wise men, it had some sheep, but it didn't have Joseph. Joseph is an important character as we look at Christmas, and there are a few reasons why. Let's jump into it if we can. We're going to examine Joseph, who he was, and the heart that Joseph had from this passage. Number one, Joseph had a heart of compassion. Joseph had a heart of compassion. He was a man, and there are all the notes. Perfect. All right? So don't jump ahead too much, okay? He had a heart of compassion. He had a difficult situation he was in. Let's look at it. Verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, picture, if you can, you got to put yourselves into Joseph's shoes here, okay? Imagine, if you will, that you are a spouse, that is, you're engaged. You're, the Bible word would be betrothed, but they're the same idea. You're engaged. Imagine you're engaged, and all of a sudden, your spouse comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm pregnant." Now, the Bible's very clear that, one, Mary was a virgin. Two, Joseph had kept himself until they until they came together. This was something that they were holding off. They weren't going to be involved in some of those things until they got married. Which, by the way, is a biblical concept. Yes? So they were deciding to hold off. And now Mary comes to Joseph and says, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." Can you picture the difficulty, the concern, the worry, the question in Joseph's mind? Joseph doesn't know what to do. Joseph doesn't know what's going on. Joseph is very concerned, as we all would be. If Becky had come to me before we got married and said that, I guarantee you I would be concerned about our marriage. So also it is with Joseph. He's in a difficult situation. He had two options biblically. One was divorce. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 is very clear that when a wife had found uncleanness in her, that is, that she had been sexually unclean, that they could actually cancel the wedding. Okay, so that was an option. Number two option was actually death. If someone was immoral, they committed adultery, then they could actually be stoned. In the book of Leviticus, it talks about that. So Joseph had a couple options, but Joseph decides, rather than doing those options, he decides to be compassionate. Now, you know from the New Testament, a lot of people were not compassionate. Joseph is. He's a compassionate individual. Look at it, verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately." His choice. He made the righteous choice. He made a caring choice. He decided that, hey, this is not something that should be done. Can I just make a little point of application if we can here? Okay? Not everything you can do is something you should do. Right? I've had people come to me before for counseling and other things like that, and they say, "Well, but there's nothing biblically wrong with it." Right? Have you ever thought that before? Well, I mean, it's not wrong, preacher. It's not wrong that I do this. But is it right? Is it best? Most of Christianity, most of our Christian lives, is not the difference between right and wrong. It's the difference between good and best. Y'all with me here? Joseph could have very easily had Mary put to death. He could have. As a matter of fact, that's what it's saying in verse number 19. He didn't want to make her a public example. That is, what they would do, if you look at Leviticus 20, is they would take this woman out into the square and they would stone her till she died. That's what would happen. But he didn't want to do that. He could have. But he decided not to. He decided to be compassionate. Can I say this? In the world we live in, we need a little bit more compassion. Right? We need a little bit more compassion. We need a little bit more love. We need to show each other that we love and care for one another. We need to show compassion. The world needs some Christians that will show compassion. Joseph was a compassionate man. We see that from this example. Number two. Joseph had a heart of confidence. He didn't just have a heart of compassion, but number two, he had a heart of confidence. He decided to trust God. Picture the situation. Joseph's going and he's thinking through all this situation and he's like, "Well, I don't want to get my wife or soon-to-be wife stoned, so I'll just put her away. Go find somebody else, I guess." He's thinking about this. This is a difficult situation for Joseph. No doubt it's a difficult situation for Mary as well, but we'll look at her next week. Difficult situation for Joseph. He's concerned. He's worried. He's thinking about it. He's praying about it. He's worried about it. Number one, is a heart of compassion. Number two, a heart of confidence. Look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, the idea here is that he's mulling it over. He's debating it within his mind. He's worrying. He's anxious. He's upset about this. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to start a new series here tonight, dealing with the fear nots of Christmas. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on verse number 20, but can I say in summary, the reason why the angel said to fear not is because Joseph was fearing. He was worried. He was upset. He didn't know what to do. He's concerned. Can I tell you, friends, in 2020, there's a lot of concern out there, yes? Man alive, it's crazy. Right? There's a lot of concern out there. There's a lot of fear out there. But we can have confidence in our God. 2020 did not take God by surprise. Right? I've seen little cartoons that have God like, oops. You know, that is not real. Y'all with me here? 2020 did not take God by surprise. He knew what would happen. He knew what would happen with the virus. He knew what would happen with the election. He knew what would happen. We can have confidence in the Lord. Fear not. What's God's assurance? Number one, God's assurance. The fear that Joseph had, we already looked at that. Verse number 20, fear not. But why can we have assurance from the Lord? Why can we have assurance no matter what happens, no matter what concerns you're in? This is the biggest trial Joseph had ever gone through, probably the biggest trial of Joseph's life. But he's told not to fear. Why? Verse 21, let's look at it. Number one, don't fear because you have a heavenly Father that loves you. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth, actually verse 20, I'm sorry. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What does the angel remind Joseph of? He reminds Joseph of God's power. Here's what he's basically saying. He's saying, hey, Joseph, don't worry, because God's doing something that you can't see. Can I explain it this way? How many of you right now, you don't have to say what it is, but how many of you right now are going through some kind of trial? You're going through something that you kind of tend to worry about. Good, raise your hand nice and high. Good. Like most of us, right? If you're not, let me encourage you, you're going to. Okay? We all go through trials. Yes? How can we have confidence? How can we have assurance? How can we have boldness in the face of it? Number one, we will sometimes have fear, but we need to remember that we have a Heavenly Father that loves and cares for us. He has a plan, and he's working out that plan. Joseph's worried. Joseph's concerned. But when he sees God and sees God's plan, sees what God is doing, it takes that concern away. That which is conceived on her is of the Holy Ghost. Hey, Joseph, God's got a plan that you don't see, you don't understand, you don't know what's happening, but God does. And he has a plan. Can I encourage you, friend, no matter what you're going through, God has a plan in that. God doesn't send the problems. God isn't the one that causes the problems, but God does have a plan in spite of the problems. God wants you to learn and to grow from it. God doesn't send trials so we fail. God sends trials so we become stronger and so we trust Him more. So in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the burden, in the midst of the difficulty, trust a Father that loves and cares for you. He has a plan. His fear, His Father, His future. Look at it, verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, now shall call his name what, folks? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, the one, that name just means Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus means. It's the same as Joshua in the Old Testament, by the way. So I didn't name my son Jesus, okay? But it's the same as Joshua in the Old Testament. Exact same name, just different between Greek and Hebrew. But nonetheless, he's saying nice and simply, hey, listen, don't worry, don't fear. God, you have a Heavenly Father that's got this. He's in control. He has the plan in the midst of your problems. Hey, there's a future that you don't see right now, but it's coming. every trial we've had, every problem you've ever faced and every problem you will ever face, God wanted to bring you through. God didn't mean for you to stay there. There's a future that's coming. Then the future is always better than where you're at. Right? The end result is better than where you were. We saw that before Christmas when we were looking at Samuel, didn't we? In the life of Hannah. Hannah went and she was worried and she was concerned. She was upset because she couldn't have children. But what happened? She trusted God, and because of that, it was even better for her in the long run. God does something in the midst of our trials that He can't do without the trial. Think of it. Let's take a time out if I can. I'm preaching fast, so hey, I can do that. Think of it this way. When things are going all smooth, right? Things are going all smooth. What's our tendency? Right? When I need God, y'all with me here? When I'm stressed out, when I'm worried, when I'm upset, what do I tend to do? I tend to be in His Word more. I tend to pray more. I tend to seek God's face more. I tend to realize that I need Him. Y'all with me here? When things are going smooth, what happens? This gets put on the shelf. Right? Our prayer life kind of wanes because we don't need to pray. Or so we think. What does God do? God sends us a problem so we can have a greater future. I've heard the expression before. It came to pass. And the idea of our trials is that they come to pass. They come to go away. Eventually they'll go away and there will be a much greater future. Joseph here was debating whether his wife should be executed or divorced. And God comes to him and says, "Hey, Joseph, you don't understand. There's a greater future at stake here. Hey, this child that's going to be born is going to save his people from their sins." God has a great future planned. It's a fulfillment, verse number 23. I love how the angel points Joseph back to God's word. Look at it. Verse number 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, by the way, this is in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." What's he saying? I get excited. I said I wasn't going to get down on the floor, but I'm doing it anyway. Okay, here's the idea. The angel comes. There's fear. There's worry. Yes? Joseph's concerned. Joseph doesn't know what to do. The angel comes to him and he says, "Hey, you have a heavenly father that has a plan. You have a heavenly father that's in control. Hey, there's a great future that's coming. But hey, let's look back. Let's strengthen our faith a little bit. Let's look back at the fulfillment of this. Hey, God promised that this was going to happen." Y'all with me here? God's got it. Let me take a time out here. Okay? How do we grow our faith? I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, "Well, my faith in God is just kind of struggling." How do we grow our faith? How does that grow? The Bible's very clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So, there's a progression. Are y'all with me here? I want faith. It's over here. How do I get faith? I get faith by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if I don't have the Word of God, what will I not have? Faith. Now some people go and they say, "Well, if God could prove Himself to me, if I could all of a sudden have the faith, then I'd be in the Word." Can I tell you, friends, that's not how it works. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So you have to have the Word before you'll have faith. And the angel comes to Joseph. We often say Gabriel. We don't know which angel it was. Let's just say Gabriel, okay? Gabriel comes to Joseph. And Gabriel tells Joseph, "Joseph, hey, something great's going to happen. God's got this. Trust Him. Hey, there's a great future coming." But I imagine Joseph sitting there and he's like, "Yeah, right. You with me here? Seriously? Imagine if you did that, okay? Put yourself into their shoes, okay? You gotta put yourself into the shoes. Imagine if you're in Joseph's situation. You have a girl that you've fallen in love with, and Joseph's situation. I don't know what I just said. I think it's a Joshua situation. Put yourself into Joseph's situation. You have a girl you've fallen in love with. You want to marry her. She's become pregnant. You know it wasn't from you. All these things happen. And then some angel comes in the middle of a dream, by the way, and says, hey, don't worry. God has a plan. God's got this. This child's going to be the savior of your people. You're kind of thinking, well, I don't know about that. That doesn't quite make sense. And then God points to a verse. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's God with us. The Son of God. Right? All of a sudden it gives strength, yes? All of a sudden it gives confidence. All of a sudden it gives an encouragement, a reality that yes, God is going to do this. God is going to work. Have you ever been there? You're reading through your Bible and you're going through a problem or a trial and all of a sudden a verse stands out and you know, yes, God's got this. I remember when little Joshua, I've used this illustration so many times, I hate to use it all the time, but it stands out in my mind. When Joshua was having seizures constantly, when he got an allergic reaction and had Stephen Johnson disorder, literally his skin was falling off of him. His mouth was swollen shut. We would have to break it open, break the scabs open just to get him some food every day. Joshua, doctors had said, would die, or at least could. And I went home from that hospital when they said they couldn't do anything else. That they had to let his immune system work because there wasn't anything else they could do. I went home and I went on a run and I said, God, this doesn't make sense. God, I'm trying to serve you. God, I've given my life to you. God, why would you do this? And I remember as clear as day, God came to me, not in some mystical, weird way, but the Holy Spirit came to me and said, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I remember as I was jogging around my neighborhood crying, looking like a complete weirdo, I said, God, I don't get how on earth this is good, but God, I do trust you, and God, I do love you. Can I tell you, friends, when I ran back to the house, there was a totally different mindset in John Otley. You all with me here? Because God spoke to me from His Word. Because now I had faith. Now I trusted that God was going to do something. And guess what? God did something. Those of you that raised your hand said, I got a trial I'm going through. I got something that's going on in my life. Have you been in this book? Have you found the fulfillment? Have you found God's promises to you? God has exceeding great and precious promises, the book of 1 Peter says in this book. Have you found the promises for you? Look to Him. Trust Him. God's assurance. Joseph's obedience. Continue on. Verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Can I say it this way? Let's go through the progression, okay? Joseph, starting off. Fear. Yes? What am I going to do? I don't know what's going to happen. This is so weird. This doesn't make sense. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to be a righteous man. I'm trying to be a just man. I'm trying to do the right thing. This doesn't make sense. God, why? Angel comes and says, hey, God's doing something. You don't know. You don't see. The child's born of the Holy Ghost. God's working, even though it doesn't make sense to you. Hey, there's going to be a great future. He's going to save His people from their sins. Everything's going to be good. Hey, here's a Bible verse to prove it. But let me ask you. If it stopped right there, would anything have changed? Would it have gotten any better? Yes or no? Would there be a Jesus with an intact family unit as we see in the New Testament? Yes or no? No. What did Joseph have to do? He had to do what was told him. Yes? He had to obey. He had to go and take a step. Can I explain it this way? A lot of times in our lives, we go and we say, God, reveal what I need to do. And we go and we seek God's face and God's Holy Spirit to leads us and He directs us. And maybe even He does direct us to a verse. And then we go and we say, well, I don't really want to do that. You've been there before? I was talking to somebody the other day. And a fellow pastor. He was talking about how he was given some counseling and things like that. Some marriage counseling specifically for this man. And he was talking about some marriage counseling. And how he'd been really trying for this family. Really seeking God's face for this family. And he gave them everything the Bible said. And they said they wanted to change. And guess what happened? They went out there and they're like, I don't want to do that. Y'all with me here? Revealed the Word of God. Showed them what needed to happen. Showed them how their marriage could be. I don't want to do that. Can I tell you, friends, if we don't choose to obey, then God can't do the plan He wants to do. Sometimes we go in our lives and we say, God, why are you working this way? You know why? Because you're stubborn. Right? Because you don't want to obey. Obey! It's not there! Obey God! Choose to follow Him. Choose to trust Him. Joseph's obedience. Number one, it was a critical obedience. In verse number 24, it said, hey, when he raised up from sleep, what's happening? He's sleeping, he has this dream, boom, he gets up and he's like, this is important. You with me here? I'm going to go and do what God says. Can I tell you, friends, your obedience is important. We're raising our kids. And Anna is three now. She's just out of the terrible twos. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Got one more in the twos. But she's just getting out of the twos. She's learning to obey. But she doesn't quite get the idea that you have to obey right away. Right? You have any children that dealt with that at all? Anybody? Yeah. You might still have some children that deal with that, right? She doesn't get the idea that she needs to obey right away. The other day, we told her to do something. And she was playing with, she likes to play with these little, like, Polly Pocket things. And she was playing with the little Polly Pocket. And we said, hey, Anna, I think it was to clean up the kitchen or something. And she's playing with the Polly Pocket. And we said, Anna, you need to clean up the kitchen. She's like, I don't. Say, what? Excuse me? Right? Oh, I don't. And then, like, you know, 15, 20 seconds later, there she goes. Cleans up for a little bit, right, Jess? And then she picks up. Can I tell you, friends, we do that with God sometimes, don't we? God goes and God says, hey, here's what I need you to do. And you say, I know. I'll get to it. No, no, no. If it's not critical, if it's not important, if you don't prioritize it, then you're not really obeying. Slow obedience is disobedience. And it's true for a 3-year-old, and it's true for a 30-year-old, and it's true for an 80-year-old. Y'all with me here? Obey. Obey. It was critical to Joseph that he obeyed. It was a confident obedience. He did as the angel said. You look back at verse number 20. He's worried. He's upset. He's confused. He doesn't even know what to do. He's debating in his mind what needs to happen. In verse number 19, he's just thinking about it and debating it. But now, all of a sudden, he has confidence. He chooses to trust God and he chooses to do what God says. Number three, it's a controlled obedience. Look at verse number 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He went and married Mary. Married Mary. He married Mary right away. He chose immediately to go get her and get married. And then he controlled himself and controlled his physical urges until the baby was born. He went above and beyond what the angel even requested and asked. Because there was something special about this child. Number one, he had a heart of compassion. Number two, he had a heart of confidence. Number three, he had a heart of courage. You say, Pastor, how do you see a heart of courage in here? Well, let's explain it a little bit. Can I say real quick? It was well known what happened with Joseph and Mary. Okay? We'll see that in just a second. It was well known what happened with Joseph and Mary. It was well known that Mary got pregnant before she got married. Pretty obvious from the passage. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees actually use it later on. We'll look at the verse in just a little bit. But Joseph chose to trust God no matter what happened because he had courage. Joseph's past, number one, we saw it in verse number 18 and verse number 19. He was a restrained man. He knew how to restrain his self, restrain his actions, restrain his desires. Before they had come together, that is in a sexual connotation. It's saying that before they came together in a physical way, she was found with a child. He was a respected man. He was a just man, it says in verse number 19, that has the idea of righteous, doing the right thing. Joseph was a man that was well respected in his community. He was a man that people looked up to, people esteemed. He was a man that in his synagogue, which would be kind of like a church today, but people looked up to, people valued Joseph, but now he's marrying a woman that everyone thinks is an adulteress. What's Joseph's future? Joseph's future is judgment. Luke chapter number 1, verse 56, we'll look at it next week a little bit more, but you see, pretty quickly, Mary goes and decides to live with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. Why was that? Well, partly because of the judgment of it. The stigma associated with it. As she's beginning to show with the baby, they didn't want it to be obvious to everybody. It was ridicule. Joseph, for the rest of his life, would be known as that. Take your Bible, flip over real quick to the book of John, chapter number 8, if we can. John chapter number 8. Interesting passage. John chapter number 8. This passage is talking about, Jesus is really talking about how He's the Son of God. In John 8, and verse number 41, He's giving all the reasons why He's the Son of God. We don't have the time to look through all of it, but verse number 41, this is the Pharisees' response. Jesus says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they, the Pharisees, to Him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." The implication here is that Jesus was born of fornication. Can I tell you, Joseph carried that stigma, carried, and by the way, it was even worse back in Bible times than it would be today. He carried that stigma with him. Joseph's boldness despite all that. Joseph knows what's coming, friends. He's not stupid. He's not naive. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to take place. Some Bible scholars have estimated that he moved specifically to Nazareth, partly because of that stigma. Nazareth was kind of a rougher area. One of the disciples even said, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" I don't know if that's true or not. That's just speculation. But I will say, Joseph had a good degree of boldness. He chose to trust God. Didn't matter what happened. Didn't matter the future. Didn't matter anyone else's reactions or anyone else's thoughts about it. Because he knew there was one person that he wanted to please, and that's God. Can I tell you, friends? Too many times we're focused on other people's opinions. What will people think? How will people view me? Can I tell you, friends? Let's focus on how God will view you.
Amen.
If you do the right thing before God, let everything else fall where it falls. Joseph realized, hey, God's opinion is what matters. Can I tell you, friends? Have you been living your life so focused on other people's opinions that you've lost sight of God's? He had faith in God regardless of people's opinions. He had faith in God regardless of the opponents. People were no doubt against it, but regardless of it all, Joseph chose to trust God. Friends, we can learn a lot from the life of Joseph, can't we? In the trials and the burdens, when you don't know what to do, you don't understand what God's doing, can I tell you real quick, friends? Trust Him. Trust Him, trust Him, trust Him. God has a plan so much greater than we could imagine. God's working things out. Find His Word. Seek Him. Find faith for what you need in this book. This book is everything, friends. It's everything. This is why our church exists. This is everything for you. If it says it here, it's true. Right? Find it. Trust it. No matter what happens, keep that faith in the Lord and in His Word. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Very simple message here this morning, but nonetheless an important one for our minds, for our hearts. A few simple questions I have for you this morning. First question is this: do you know the Savior? Are you saved? Just go ahead and go to the logo, Brian, if you can. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Do you know that heaven is your home? Didn't spend a lot of time on it, but the Bible says that he would be called Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Savior. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating the Savior through Christmas. That's even what his name means. Jesus is the Savior. How does Jesus save people? He died for you. He paid the punishment for your sins. He suffered and bled and died so that you could have life. The question is whether you've received him as your personal Savior. Salvation is not being better. It's not trying harder. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's putting your trust in Jesus and him alone. That's what salvation is. Can I ask your friend? You know for sure you're saved. You say, Pastor, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking, okay? Just me. Pastor, I know I'm saved. I'm sure of it. 100% I know I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know it. I'm sure. I'm saved. Good. Thank you. You can put your hands down. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I saw one or two hands that were not raised. I appreciate your honesty. I do. But can I tell you, friends, just being honest in this place doesn't save you. Being honest in this place doesn't do much if you don't obey and you don't do it. God's word is true. God's word is right. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Can I tell you nice and simply? Salvation is by Jesus and him alone. You can't work hard enough to save you. You can't be good enough to save you. You need Christ to save you. So put your faith in him. You say, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you about it. I'd like to get this settled. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I don't do that kind of thing. No one's looking. It's literally just me looking right now. You say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about this after service. I want to know for sure. Heaven's my home. I want to talk to you. I want to get it settled. If that's you right now, in the quietness of this time, would you just kind of pop your hand up a little bit so I can catch you, or just make eye contact with me? I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to give you some Bible verses about how you can know for sure heaven is your home. Second question is this, friends. You get a lot of folks that raise their hands and said, hey, I'm going through some kind of trial. I'm going through some kind of problem. The question is, are we facing it the right way? Number one, can I give you some encouragement? God the Father knows the trial you're going through. He knows the burdens, and he has a plan for it. The devil tempts us to make us fall. Jesus, God the Father, tests us to make us better. You're going through a problem, you're going through a difficulty, and you say, you know what? I kind of lost sight of it. I become so discouraged and so just defeated by this thing. And I'm going to get into his word, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to obey. Maybe you know that you haven't been obeying like you should. You know what's supposed to happen. You just don't do it. That's a lot of times our problem, isn't it? We know what we need to do. We just don't like doing it. Say, Pastor, in some way, I need to learn from Joseph. I need to change. I need to be the right kind of person. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? There's some kind of trial. There's some kind of burden. There's some kind of difficulty. I need to be trusting him. I need to be seeking him. I need to be relying on him. Good. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? I need to be obeying him. I need to be doing what he says. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord, can we? Hear me, Father. You've seen the hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. Lord, in the trials, the burdens, and the difficulties of our life, Lord, you are always there, working in the background. Even when we can't see it, Lord, you are there. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be in your word. Help us to find the encouragement and the faith that we need to please you in our lives, Lord, so that we can come on the other side knowing that you worked. Lord, I pray that you'd be with these that raise their hands. Give them strength. Give them help to put their faith in you, to take that next step, to continue to trust you, to find faith in your word. Lord, give them the grace and the help that they need. And Lord, as I mentioned kind of jokingly in this message, Lord, whether we're going through trials or not right now, Lord, eventually we will all go through trials.
So, Father, help us to remember these principles and to be in the Word preparing, Lord, knowing that Your Spirit works through the Word. Strengthen us and help us in these things. We'll thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.